From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection this hour was made in 1977 when an up-and-coming film critic published his review of a new film called Star Wars. Calling it, quote, an epic film of adventure, Gannett's Jack Garner predicted Star Wars would be the movie of that summer, if not the whole year. He also mentioned a possible sequel. That review was the first among too many to count for a man who became Rochester's bridge to Hollywood. Over the course of more than four decades, Jack Garner interviewed cinema icons like Audrey Hepburn, Meryl Streep, Robert Redford. He was also a personal friend of former silent film star Louise Brooks when she lived in Rochester. And as chief film critic for Gannett, that's a title he earned in 1987, Garner's work was read by film lovers in more than 100 newspapers across the country. Although he officially retired in 2007, Garner remained an enduring figure in local and national culture scenes. He wrote freelance art columns. He published his book in 2013 called From My Seat on the Aisle. He attended performances across the community. He was emceeing. He was horrible at retirement, that guy. There was always a buzz when Jack Garner was in an audience. And on Sunday, friends and family heard the devastating news that Jack had died at the age of 75. While he will be remembered for his work and for his love of film, music, theater, his love of the Bills, perhaps Jack will be best remembered for his kindness. His wife Bonnie told DNC reporter Gary Craig that the glass was always half full with him. She and Jack were getting ready to celebrate 50 years of marriage next month. So this hour we honored Jack Garner's life and work. He was a remarkable friend and supporter of WXXI and this program. And I'm sorry. Oh, Jack, you got me. Oh, boy. We know his joy radiated among many different parts of our community. And we're going to hear from his friends and former colleagues this hour. And joining us first is his longtime close friend, Tom Proietti. I am sorry, my friend.
Evan, you're killing me.
I didn't expect to start this way.
If Jack Garner was here right now, he'd be saying, you're killing
me. Oh, God, he would. Oh man, geez. I'm really sorry. I didn't expect that.
Oh, no, don't be sorry. See, that's the thing, and Jack would tell you, just, you know, cry your eyes out and love me forever, because that's what he was about.
Oh, man.
Kindest human being I think I ever met in my life.
See, that's the thing.
Along with my wife. I love that you picked up on the kindness, because that was, and Bonnie said it perfectly when she said the glass was always half full, not end up. He never saw it half empty. Never.
And you know,
wouldn't allow that to happen.
That's the thing that producer Megan Mack and I were talking about as we kind of got ready for this program and looking back at his many, many appearances on this program and, of course, with Bob Smith and everywhere in town. You know, if you call Jack, if he was available, he was going to say yes. He was not the guy who was like, well, I want to be the only guest or I want it to be me. Sometimes we'd call him and we'd say, hey, you're going to be on with such and such. You've never met them. He'd be like, great. I'm sure they're great.
Good.
Now Jack could dominate a conversation, not because he tried to, not because he had a big ego, yeah, but because he was so knowledgeable and so good at what he did. But he was always kind to everybody. That was Jack to me. Unending kindness.
And the biggest heart. And the, I used to tell him all the time, you're the biggest heart and the biggest brain, and it scares the hell out of me. You're so physically big, because he's twice as big as I am. He's just an enormous heart, too. And it just, I don't know how to tell you how much I love him and miss him. And it's so, you know, I've been sobbing since Sunday,
yeah,
but also laughing, because we had so many great times together. And we had a group of five of us who went out to dinner once a month since 1997. And you know some of the players in that group, too. Dominic Gunice and Mark Brady and Tom D'Agostino and Jack Garner. And, you know, when we brought Jack into the group, we were always worried that he might dominate the group. And if he did, he never did. He dominated the group only if he wanted to say something, or if somebody, more than anything, we wanted to seek his opinion about things. And the constant arguments between Jack Garner and Dominic Gunice over Lawrence of Arabia are things I'll never forget. Because Jack said it's the greatest film ever made, and Dominic Gunice said, you're killing me, kid. You're killing me.
let's listen to Jack's voice. We've got a clip of him.
Oh, I love that voice.
We've got a clip of him with Norm Silverstein, CEO of WXXI, from Norm and Friends. And this is...
Oh, what a beautiful interview that is.
Yeah, this is Jack talking about his love of movies, and then it cuts to his reviews. Let's listen.
I've always loved movies. When I was a kid back in growing up in Williamsport, Pennsylvania, when I was 10 or 12 years old, I'd cross the Market Street Bridge to go to the movie theater every Saturday with a dollar bill in my pocket, burning a hole in it, of course, my allowance. And the issue became, do I buy the latest 45, because I also love music, or do I go to the movies? And with that buck, I could probably get in and popcorn. And then I started it a bit in grad school. So I love film.
When you think about film in Rochester, three names come to mind: Kodak, George Eastman, and Jack Garner.
Wow. I'm flabbergasted to hear that, but I really appreciate it. And I've been very supportive of Rochester. And I'm one of those critics that actually is happier when I turn people on to a good film rather than when I turn people off on a bad film. I'm willing to do that. I have to do that. It's part of the job. But I still love turning them on to a good film. And I was always happy when I heard that, first of all, generally Rochester, I always heard, was on a per capita basis, at least at one time, had more screens than any other town of its size, per capita basis, than any other town. And I also was happy, for example, I heard once that a long time ago there was a wonderful movie called The Black Stallion. I raved about it, and somebody told me that the audience attendance here was better than anywhere else, and they credited my review. And I like to hear that, because I like people to know about good movies. I also, of course, need to warn them about bad ones.
That's Jack Garner talking to, of course, Norm and Company. And that appearance, by the way, of Jack Garner on Norm and Company, we're going to re-air that for you, and you're going to want to see it. Saturday, 9 p.m. Saturday, 9 p.m. on WXXI-TV. Norm Silverstein and now the late Jack Garner. When's the last time you saw Jack, Tom?
Friday. And Friday we had a really interesting conversation that actually even brought up he and I would both joke about the end of life, and we have a group of the group that I mentioned. We were all in our 70s except for one, and we always wondered who would be the first to go, and he won. I mean that in such a kind and loving way, I never thought, because a couple weeks ago we were out to dinner with him, and Bonnie happened to say, for the first time in many years, both of us are really, really healthy. And boy,
gosh,
here you go. Three weeks later, we lose them. So, but that's life, and it just it's the pile on of this crazy year, 2020. 2020's tried to tell us, you thought it was bad up until now. We're gonna make it even worse.
Yeah,
we're gonna.
And so, Tom, let me ask you about what Jack said to Norm in that clip about his criticism. Because I know you and him talked movies many times. In fact, you asked me an impossible question. We're gonna talk about watching movies with Jack. But I tangled with Jack a little bit when the newest Star Wars came out, because Jack even liked the prequels. And I'm going,
he likes everything.
Nobody likes the prequels, Jack Garner. I think, first of all, he loved Star Wars as a universe, and he was.
Right.
As we mentioned at the outset, he was all over it right from the start in his first review for Gannett. He knew that this was something special, and I think he just loved the creativity of that universe. But he also was a kind person. He wanted to find the good in people. He wanted to find the good in film. And I think sometimes we expect critics to be sort of just fantastical in their condemnations. And how creative can you be in dissing somebody? That was never Jack, was it?
Never. He never, and that's one of the reasons why on two different occasions I hired him. The first time I hired him to teach at MCC, and I'll never forget I asked him if he'd be interested in teaching, and he immediately said no. He thought he'd be too cruel. And then he said he felt completely unprepared. He didn't think he would be all that good. And he said, he described himself as what Hunter Thompson used to say about a lot of journalists, is they were paper tigers. Behind the typewriter, they were fine, but put them in front of a group and they were not good. And I watched him grow, because he called me 2 days later and said, you know what, I'm going to give it a try. And he turned out to be, his class was always the class that filled first in MCC. 60 students every single semester, filled quickly. And on my Facebook page alone, I've seen at least 500 students come back to say, I took a class with Jack Garner at Monroe Community College, and it changed my life. It changed the way I look at movies. It changed the way I look at the world, because he'd always sneak in his view of life, because that's what he was about. And he was just, you used the word yesterday when you You said he was kind, and that was such a perfect description, because that's truly what Jack was. He was one of the kindest human beings. And he always said he was writing for the consumer. He didn't ever want to be mistaken as being a better filmmaker or a better critic just because he would go after the film to take it apart. He and I once had an argument about a film that I thought was the worst movie. And when I say an argument, it was a Jack Garner
and Tom
Brady argument. We're hugging each other. But it was Joe versus the Volcano. And it's just an awful film. It's just terrible. And Jack gave it a 5. And I called him and I said, you just gave Joe versus the Volcano a 5. And he and I had actually seen it together at the critics preview. And one of his unwritten rules was if you want to watch a movie with him at the critics preview, is he didn't want to talk about it because he was already formulating his thoughts. The only time we ever talked about a movie before a review was my 50th birthday. He took me to see Fargo at the Little, and we couldn't stop laughing. We sat next to each other in an empty theater and couldn't stop laughing. But he was so ultimately kind that he said, I'm writing for the movie, for the person who is the consumer of film, the person who loves just sitting there with a box of popcorn, loving that absolutely beautiful environment of sitting in the dark, usually alone, and you know, and riding that wave of the film.
Even Joe versus the Volcano.
Even Joe gave it a 5. It's the worst movie ever made. He gave it a 5. And I called him and I said, you can't give this movie a 5. I said, I'm sitting here reading this and I'm looking at it and I'm telling Donna. And Donna said, well, if it's a 5, it can't be that bad.
Well, he wasn't writing for the Academy, though. I guess that's the point,
no.
Right?
And he never gave ones or twos or never gave threes. He was just kind of cautioning you. That was about it.
Yeah.
And what a gentle soul.
Absolutely. It strikes me, and you know him better than I, so I'm going to make an observation. You tell me if I'm right about this.
Okay.
You know, we all know people in our lives whose public face is very different than their private face. They treat people differently in public than they do in their private lives. They are different to their spouse or family or friends. They put on a show. Jack strikes me as he was always that same guy every setting I ever saw him.
Every single time. That's what you saw is what you got. There was in sociology, one of the things you learn is that we all have persona, different personae that we play. You know, so there's your social persona, there's your church persona, and Jack didn't have any of those. What you see is what you get, and he was always ready to be himself, and that was all he could present to you. And what a marvelous gift, because himself, Jack Garner, is truly just he literally could fill the room without intending to fill the room, and not because he was 6'9". He could fill the room because his kindness and his brain and his aura was just that. He was a compelling figure. If you sat at a table with him, you could just realize that this was the smartest person in the room in the most practical and kind of way, not necessarily intellectually smart, the smartest person in the room, even though he was probably that as well. But he always just knew how to be himself. He was still that little kid from South Williamsport, Pennsylvania, and he reminded people over and over again, I'm completely unpretentious, and that was such a beautiful thing about him.
Well, and think about the many lessons of Jack. To me, maybe the most important lessons that I take from knowing Jack Garner are, number one, you can truly be kind to everyone, no matter their circumstances or background, and you should be kind to everyone at all times. And you should be consistent. You shouldn't have different personas to the extent possible. You shouldn't have a different persona at work, at home, when you're out in public, when you meet someone on the street. You should be who you are, because it is so much more peaceful and happy to be that way. It's so much easier to be happy if you are kind all the time, if you are grateful, and if you are consistent. And Jack Garner,
well, he woke up every morning. Yeah, and he woke up every morning with a smile on his face. And that's something he and I share. We both have the kind of a rosy outlook on life. But there were times when I would call him and I'd say, I need a little Garner boost because I'm feeling just awful about the world. And Bonnie and I were just talking about the only regret Jack would have right now is that he couldn't vote against Donald Trump. He's going to miss that opportunity. And so,
I mean, this is not a political comment. I'm just observing, knowing him as a person, that it is just for him. he wanted the chance to see the country go back in a different direction.
Just to vote against him.
Yeah, yeah.
And you know, not to hurt him, not, you know, just to vote against him. And, you know, he was truly insulted by, you know, the, I mean, think about Jack Garner and Donald Trump. Put the two of them in the room.
The two most different people.
Human beings.
Yeah.
Yes, one of the kindest human beings in the world, and the least kind human being in the world, maybe. And you could tell that just was so abrasive to him. And I saw him recoil from that with almost anybody who was not kind. You know, he would just kind of move away from it. And he was never, he's never wowed by personality. I mean, he met some of the most significant human beings, people we recognize constantly. He met them all the time, and it never wowed him. It never really had that much of an impact on him. Just never overcome by anyone.
I want to bring in Gary Craig, who is a public safety watchdog reporter for the Democrat and Chronicle, who spent years working with Jack Garner and knows him well, and certainly knows his love of jazz and music well. Gary, welcome. How are you? How are you taking this news? I mean, were you as shocked as everybody, Gary?
Oh, I was. Oh, yes. I mean, when your moments at the beginning there, I could fully relate to. Matter of fact, I'm relating to them now. But no, I was.
Gary, like
was,
our conversation on Monday. Or on,
yeah, exactly,
on
exactly. I wrote the obituary Sunday, and I felt honored that they reached out to me to do that. But at the same time, it was one of the hardest things I've ever written. So it was very, very tough. But and Tom has said it, and you have said it. You know, it's, I don't know if there's a better way to describe them than kind. I mean, kind, generous, just this guy who, you know, as everybody said, just embraced life to its fullest. And, you know, and you made that funny comment at the beginning here, Evan, which was, I thought, and it resonated, I thought, with, you know, he was horrible at retirement, which was true in many ways. But in the same way, you could think, well, he was actually great in retirement because this guy was just always – there wasn't a moment that he wasn't living to its fullest when you think about it. So
he and Bonnie traveled, and of course he loved the festivals. He loved to see. You know what I found, Gary? I mean, he loved learning new things, and he loved being around people who were very good at what they did, which is probably why he probably loved music. I mean, you know, I mean, you loved the jazz festival. I'm sure just a few days ago you were thinking about what you were missing down on Jazz Street. But didn't you find that Jack always loved to be around talent, so just so he could soak it in and appreciate it?
He did, you know, and he was, you know, we would, you know, my wife and I would often see, you know, Jack and Bonnie and, you know, fixtures at the Jazz Fest and talk to them. And I was just a very quick story I was thinking about the other day. I'm a big Bill Frisell fan, and I found him at the Jazz Fest. You know, a good friend, Michael Wenzel, turned me onto him. And if you don't know Frisell, if you see him live, the beginnings of songs can be a little sort of off-putting if you're not prepared for it, where they're just, it doesn't, it's sort of non-melodic, plucking of the strings and all until suddenly you recognize what he's playing. But, you know, sometimes it's like you don't even know when it morphs into a song, you know. Well, the first time Jack went to see him, it was this show that I had no clue what he played for the entire hour. It was just, it was like those openings that I talk about, you know, just kept going on and on, it seemed like, even though we got a song list, I think Spivak did after. And if that were a show that, if that were my first show for Bill Frisell, I'm not sure I would have become the fan I did. But Jack just like relished it. You know, he just embraced it. He was just like wanted to find out what the song list was and everything after. Whereas I, you know, with this ear of me, I would like, I might have been running for the doors, you know. So, but that was just so Jack that he had, you know, everything, especially with the arts, that he just digested it and loved it and just relished it.
I think, Gary, I think Tom's point is an important one that, you know, obviously Jack got to meet and interview and spend time with some of the biggest names in arts and Hollywood for many years. But I actually think there's something telling about someone who appreciates that but doesn't feel like a worship or nervousness, or because these are just people. And that's the consistency of Jack Garner. He probably wouldn't have been overly nervous interviewing some of the biggest names in Hollywood because, you know, they're people like anybody he would meet on the street who he's never heard of. I mean, I just can't see him getting bowled over with nervousness and talking to somebody. Does that make sense, Gary?
No, I think that's right on. I mean, and you guys have talked about it. I mean, Jack talked to everybody in Hollywood. I mean, I had that story in the obituary from Ellen Rosen, who was his editor, that, you know, that when he had the answer machine, he'd push it, and she came back one day, and she heard the answer machine go, hey, Jack, it's Bob Redford calling you back. You know? And Jack was the kind of guy, I mean, he would tell the stories about those folks that he interviewed and all, but it wasn't like a name-dropping thing. It wasn't that, oh, look who I spent the last half hour with, yeah, or something. It was just, you know, and I think you hit it on the nose there. It's, you know, there, you know, people were people to Jack, and, you know, whether you're Bob Redford or you know, the fan who wants to talk to you at the Jazz Fest that you've never met before but really wants to get your opinion, and Jack would just give them the same amount of time and the same amount of Jack as he would anybody else.
Yeah, you know, it's funny you say Bob Redford, because Jack had a way of talking yeah, about people that he knew or had gotten to know from Hollywood in a way that wasn't ostentatious or name-droppery. It was just matter of fact. So at one point we were having a conversation, he kept saying Phil, and I'm like, who? He's like, oh, you know, Phil Hoffman. Yeah. I'm going, I know him as Philip Seymour Hoffman. To Jack, he was just Phil Hoffman. You know, and I just loved that, because he wasn't trying to impress you. He just knew people. Obviously, he knew Philip Seymour Hoffman and the local connections well, but he wasn't trying to impress me when he did that, Gary.
No, you know, and I put out that sort of, you know, when I was looking for just people, which make the mistake of asking people to give you memories of Jack and you end up answering emails for the next 2 days. But I think there's phone calls I still haven't answered. but Mimi Kennedy, the actress, you know, somebody sent her this story Sunday, and, you know, she's on Mom and she was on Dharma and Greg and has, you know, done films and everything, you know, Rochester based, you know, the Rochester native. And, you know, and she just sent me this lengthy email. You know, I quoted some of it in the article, but just, you know, it didn't matter where she was in her career. You know, she said there were bumps. The Jack was always there, sort of, you know, helping boost her as a hometown talent and just, you know, checking up. And it would be, you know, he'd talk and they'd talk about families and everything. And it was just so typical Jack when I read that email from her, because it was the Jack we all know, and it didn't matter who it was that he was dealing with, whether it was Bob Redford or Phil Hoffman or Mimi Kennedy or any of us, you know. So,
well, before I let you go, Gary, Tom Proietti, what was it that you asked me? Because you were talking about if you could see any movie with Jack and have any meal with Jack at a Rochester joint, where would it be? Tom, you answered
David,
that question.
Wow. Yeah, on my 50th birthday, he said, let's go see Fargo. He said, what are you doing tomorrow? And then my birthday was always during the holiday break, you know, at school. And he said, I have this movie, another Coen Brothers coming in, but I'd love to hear more about that.
So, Gary Craig, what's it going to be? You're going to go see any movie with Jack Garner. He's not reviewing it. You can just ask him anything you want.
You know, it's really funny that you say that, Tom, because I'm a big Coen Brothers fan. And, you know, if I had to do it, I would probably – it's got to be The Little. And I would probably go with Blood Simple, the very first Coen Brothers movie, as if we could have known them as something other than the Coen Brothers at the time, and talked about that movie in sort of isolation from the rest of what they would do for the rest of their careers. But that might have been it. Yes.
Gary, last question for you, and I'll let you go here.
Yeah.
What will you think of first when you think of Jack?
I mean, you guys have said it, just kindness, you know, just kindness. Sorry. Yes. Oh, it's happening to me now. Sorry. Yeah.
It's all right. No, I hear you. I mean, he's a good a guy as they come. And he was 6'9", but, you know, he rarely got up to 6'9" in recent years. He had that lope. I love the Jack Garner walk. I mean,
the walk.
And, yes. And of course, that was one of the hard things, as Tom mentioned earlier. You know, he was feeling all things considered, Jack's gone through a lot physically. He was feeling pretty good. And at least we can know that at the end of his life, that he felt good until then. And that's important. So,
yeah, I'll tell you one more if you have 30 seconds.
Yeah.
One more quick story. So the 1 year, because of you know, the issues with the walking and the mobility that year, he couldn't get to the Jazz Fest, which was, you know, was hard on Jack. And he was a big fan of Tessa Suter, who was supposed to be here this year. And we wrote her, and what was this? I forgot. One of the Beatles songs she does, and just does it beautifully. And she was just in a heartbeat. I mean, within probably minutes, she had written back and accepted this idea that we would do a video of her doing that song dedicated to Jack at the Jazz Festival, so we could give him the video. And that's just, it was just like everybody he met. You said it. Everybody you met, he made this impression on that was just, you know, it was just Jack. And you wish that much of the world had that same fiber and that same character that he had. You know.
Gary, thanks for sharing the memories and for a beautiful obituary and for the thoughts on your friend. We really appreciate that.
Great. Thanks, guys. Take care.
OK. Gary Craig, public safety watchdog reporter for the Democrat and Chronicle. Tom Proietti is with me, resident scholar in media at St. John Fisher College, and one of a group of five hanging out with Jack Garner for many years, and one of Jack's closest friends. And after our only break of the hour, we're going to welcome Linda Maroney, a filmmaker and director and programmer for the One Take Film Festival, which Jack, of course, loved. Let's go ahead and get that break, and we'll come right back on Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Wednesday on the next Connections. It's a rough summer for camps, but there are some camps still operating in different ways. Some are doing day camps of sorts. Others are doing digital or online. And we're going to talk about what camps are doing in various settings. Are there still options for you or your kids this summer? We're talking camps on Wednesday. This is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. If you're just joining us, we're honoring the life and memory of Jack Garner, who passed away this weekend at the age of 75. And we're talking to friends, colleagues, and people who knew him well and appreciated the remarkable work he did for this community, including, by the way, earlier this year, Jack Garner was elected an honorary trustee of WXXI and the Little Theater. And recently would be made a lifetime member of the Little, something XXI and the Little only designate in very special circumstances. And I suspect Linda Maroney thinks that there was no one more deserving than Jack Garner. How are you, Linda?
I'm doing okay. You know, it still feels very surreal and still sort of in shock, I think, that this has happened.
Yeah. When's the last time you were in touch with Jack?
Well, I saw him twice in February, him and Bonnie, before, before they left for their big trip to South Africa. But he had asked me to introduce him at the Chatterbox Club. And so I was very honored and went and introduced him that night before he gave his Oscar picks to the crowd. And then in mid February, I was sat with Jack and Bonnie at their table for the Susan B. Anthony Museum and House dinner. So I had twice with them recently.
What do you remember most about Jack?
Well, I mean, kindness, hands down, as everyone has been discussing. But I think his enthusiasm was infectious. And I think that's a word that really comes to mind for me. He would be excited about film or art or music or dance or poetry. And he really wanted to celebrate it and tell everyone about it. And he did that in his columns after he, you know, semi-retired, as everyone's been talking about. But then he also had a huge following on Facebook and social platforms. And he was just enthusiastic about so much wonderful things in life and wanted to share that. And I think this community really responded to that. I know whenever he did a review, that was a really wonderful review about a film that I was showing or any of the festivals in town, that the audience would come out. They trusted his opinion, and they would come out because Jack recommended it.
Should there be a Jack Garner Film Festival in Rochester?
I don't know. I think a Jack Garner Award might be really wonderful.
Yeah.
He was involved in so many festivals. Like, he often did Q&A for One Take. He did Q&A for the Jewish Film Festival. Yeah, I'm sure he did it for High Falls. You know, he had his tentacles, his cultural tentacles, in so many different aspects of the community. So I think there needs to be real good consideration and thought about the best way to commend his spirit.
Yeah, that's such a wise answer, because I've seen on social media some momentum for it. Hey, let's do a Jack Garner Film Festival, put his name on it. But you're right, Linda. I mean, he really supported film across the spectrum of genres of film, and maybe limiting it in certain ways would be a disservice to Jack. I don't know. I mean, I don't have a good answer for this, but that answer makes sense to me. I like a Jack Garner Award. I don't know, Tom Proietti. I feel like his name's going to end up in certain places appropriately so.
I think you and Linda are both absolutely right about this. I don't like the idea necessarily of a film festival, because they're too much work to pull off, for one thing.
It's a lot of work.
What do you know, Linda Maroney?
No one knows better than Linda Maroney. That's one of the reasons why she ran away from it when you said the Jack Garner Film Festival. First off, my heart skipped a beat, and I'm sure Linda skipped two beats. But I think something like naming a theater at the Little, or, you know, the Garner Theater, or somebody else today on Facebook said, how about one permanent seat inside each of the theaters at the Little? That's the Jack Garner seat. And I think that's the kind of thing he would say, you know what, that's cool. That's really cool. Anything anyone proposes, I would try to think like Jack Garner, or I would call Bonnie and say, what do you think? What do you think he would think? And that, you know, I think that would be the important thing for Jack.
Linda, do you have a sense that Jack, given that he became Gannett's National Film Critic in 1987, and, you know, his work was published in dozens, well over 100 papers, and, you know, he could have focused on more on Hollywood. He didn't have to be here. He didn't have to stay here in retirement. He didn't have to support local festivals. He could have followed more of the Hollywood path. He really didn't do that. I mean, Jack Garner, I think of Jack Garner as purely Rochester. Do you?
I think he understood what was great about Rochester, and he knew that it was a really wonderful place to raise a family, for him and Bonnie to raise their family. And so he could have definitely moved down to New York. And I remember having conversations with him about that, but it was very much, he was focused on family. I mean, him and Bonnie were such a team. If Jack was going to something, Bonnie was there too. You know, they were so connected. I think that's why he chose to stay here, because it's a really wonderful place to raise a family.
You agree with that, Tom?
Absolutely. You know, if you could experience the Garner family, the three children and the grandchildren, and if you could see Jack and Bonnie's faces in the midst of the family, you realize it's almost like the working definition of the great American family. And he understood Rochester inside and out. He knows how community-minded the city is, and he reflects that perfectly. And it was the perfect match for him. Again, that he used to say, that little punk from South Williamsport found a place that was even better than South Williamsport. And he's absolutely right, and he fit it perfectly. It's going to be hard to replace him. Linda and I talked yesterday. She called me yesterday to make sure I was okay. And we were talking exactly about this, is, you know, what's the fitting tribute to somebody like this? I don't know what it is. It's not a film festival, Evan, so don't even know that.
Well, and I'll just say, and I suspect Tom appreciates the spirit of this, there is no replacing Jack Garner.
No.
But, I mean, there's going to be pieces of Jack that live on in so many different ways. So, Linda, before I let you go here, a film festival, okay, I take the point there. But maybe a theater named The Little, who knows? I mean, maybe something else. I mean, maybe different institutions in town. We've talked on this program and in very sort of wistful existential terms that eventually almost all graves go unattended, which is just, mm-hmm. just that's just reality. I mean, 100 years from now, when Connections is still going strong, as I'm sure it will be, I do wonder if the audience will know Jack's name. But I think Jack's name's got a better chance of being remembered, and I don't see that in like a sort of competitive way, as if that should be a goal, because this is just the cycle of life. It's okay that most graves go unattended. I think Jack will be remembered for all the right reasons for a long, long time, I think is what I'm trying to say. What do you think, Linda?
I fully agree with that. You know, I think he embodies the spirit of community. And like I said, it's, you know, he was always at Garth Fagan Dance. He was at Boa Editions. He was at the Mag. You'd see him at Jiva. You would see him at the Little, at the Dryden. And I mean, that's what we want, right? Right now, we need that more than anything, to feel this sort of sense of connectedness in this world where we're so divided right now. So hopefully, you know, he can represent that to so many people now, even more so, that we take that into our own lives and make, you know, intentionally make the effort to be more connected to each other at this point.
Linda, thanks for making the time. And as the filmmaker and director and programmer for the One Take Film Festival, we appreciate the work you do. I know Jack always did. Thanks for the memories of him.
Thank you so much, Evan. Thanks for doing the show. It's really wonderful.
Wonderful. That's Linda Maroney. I've got Tom Perietti, one of Jack's best friends, is with me on the line. We're talking about the late Jack Garner, who passed away this past weekend at the age of 75. And before we bring in another guest, let me grab a phone call. Barbara in Rochester. Go ahead, Barbara.
Hi there. Hi, Tom Priotti. This is Barb.
Hi, Barbara.
Alias SBA. I have a suggestion. I think maybe you could think about having a Jack Garner Film Studies scholarship over at the school. I know that also, like a film festival, takes, you know, effort, and it takes, long-term taking care of, but it's something that folks could look into. And I'm pretty sure that if that was put out to the community, you'd have a zillion people donating to it to get it off the ground.
Barbara, I'm glad you mentioned that, because it's one of the things where there's a group of us who are meeting next Thursday to talk exactly about that possibility. And two of the people in that group are fundraisers. So I think at least from our perspective, the group of people who went to dinner with Jack once a month since 1997,
yes.
I think. Yeah,
yes.
There's a group of us getting together who are going to start that kind of, at least start the thinking on it next Thursday. And we're going to see what happens. I think it's a great idea. Yep. Thank you for echoing it.
Well, it is. And in speaking to the issue of not competitive, you know, the issue around awarding it could be based on both kindness and enthusiasm, you know.
Yeah, great description.
As well as somebody
Barbara, if we end up with a scholarship, we're going to have you write all the qualifications. You got it nailed. Yeah, it's a deal.
Well, I'm so sorry for everybody's loss. It hit the whole community the same way. Take care of yourselves. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Barbara Blaisdell. Always nice to hear you. We're talking about Jack Garner, and we're talking about his work not only in film criticism, but what he meant to this community. Let's bring in another film critic for City Newspaper. It's Adam Lubiteau, who is on the line with us now. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing okay. I've been listening along. I was just saying to Megan that it got a little dusty in the room for a while there, but I think I'm doing okay now.
Hey, listen, my friend Tom Priotti says it feels good to cry. We should do it more often. It's a sign of our shared humanity. So it got me off the top when I thought about Jack's wife, Bonnie, and our hearts are to her. And, you know, I don't know how up for it is that she is to feel about listening to a show about Jack yet. Who knows if she'll get around to listening to this. But, Bonnie, if you do, you know, we love you, and I know you feel supported. But that's what got me, was thinking about Bonnie. So, Tom, just so you know, that's what it was.
Excellent. That's what Jack was about, and that's what we're all about.
So, Adam Lubiteau, you know, you've been on this program with Jack, and I know he meant so much to this community, and now here you are as a film critic yourself. What did he mean to you?
I literally grew up reading Jack's reviews. You know, I've kind of been movie obsessed as long as I can remember. So I think I always paid a special attention to local film writers. And since my family, you know, subscribed to the DNC, he was in my home every week growing up. In fact, the past couple of days I've been thinking about it, and somewhere buried in my parents' basement, there's a binder of Jack's film reviews from, I think, the summer of 1994, when I don't remember why now, but that for some reason that period in particular, I clipped out and saved his reviews. I remember because the first one was his rave review of The Lion King. And so somewhere I'll have to dig that out and, you know, flip through that.
So let's see here, 94. Was that like Shawshank? What else was going on in 94? I'm trying.
I think so, yeah. That
amazing.
Yeah, I think the Pulp Fiction in there. Yeah, Shawshank. Maybe Forrest Gump. But yeah, I was 10, 11, somewhere in there.
Now,
probably.
Adam, we have all echoed the fact that Jack was always a kind person, even in his reviews. And as our guests have said, I mean, he didn't want to just unnecessarily trash an artist, an actor, a director, that he would do it if he would be critical if he had to. That was part of the job. But he felt better highlighting what he thought readers should see, as opposed to saying, don't go see this. It was a way of sort of winking at the audience. And if I'm reviewing this, I think it'll be worth your time. What do you make of that approach to writing about film, Adam?
I mean, I agree with that 100%. And I think, at least I hope that's something I took away from reading his reviews all those years, because that is something I try to think about when I'm reviewing something, that even if I don't like it, there's usually, you know, some merit or something within the film that I can highlight and say, you know what, this is one aspect of it that works. Because I think ideally, for somebody reading that review, even if I'm saying I didn't like it, I think by reading my thoughts, or, you know, when Jack wrote his thoughts, you'd still be able to say, maybe this wasn't to his taste, but this might be something I still want to check out. Mm-hmm. So I think there's that fine line to walk.
And Adam, before I let you go here, you know, Jack said after his retirement that, you know, he watched fewer films overall, that we always loved talking to him around Oscar season because, you know, he would try to make time to see as many of the nominated films as he could, and his perspective was always really valuable, but he was honest about what he could see and couldn't see. So there were times where we'd have Jack, yourself, on the program. Was there something special about being on? And Jack was just happy to be still talking films. He didn't, you know, he didn't demand like star treatment based on whoever was on the panel. He viewed everybody as equals. Was there something special about being on with Jack?
Yeah, absolutely. As I said, you know, I grew up reading him. And so I definitely admit that I think the first time I was a little intimidated, but I think that's a testament to Jack that, you know, once I was on, he was so good at, you know, making everyone feel comfortable. And as everyone has said, sharing that enthusiasm, and he made you feel welcome, and he had that warmth that I really appreciate. And I'll always be thankful for.
Adam Lubitow is a film critic for City Newspaper. We love your work, by the way. And I think in some ways there's a little bit of Jack in all of us. I'm sure in some of your work, your voice is your own, of course, but I'm really glad you're able to join us and tell these stories about Jack and join the chorus here. Adam, thanks for making time for Connections today.
Thanks so much for inviting me on.
Oh, that's our pleasure. And before we bring in our last guest of the hour, Tom Proietti, our Kathy Reed wants to know, you know, can you talk about when Al Pacino came to RIT and he introduced Jack rather than the other way around? she says it was priceless.
3,000 people in the audience, they're, you know, waiting to hear Al Pacino, and Al Pacino introduced Jack Garner, and he got a standing ovation. Al Pacino said, I knew you'd be a bigger draw than I was. So, now, you know, this is such a great tribute all the way around to this absolutely fantastic guy. And if you ever get a chance to that video, that review or the interview with Al Pacino is online through RIT. And it's truly one of the best interviews I've ever seen in my life. And I used to think it was sit and watch James Lipton. And I would say to Donna, I'd say, God, you know, I love James Lipton. I said, but I think Jack Garner would be even better in this role inside the Actors Studio on Bravo. So, yeah, just a magnificent human being.
Jack should have at least done, like, fill-ins for Lipton. That would have been awesome, just to see.
But that would have been so inconsistent with his dedication to Rochester. You know, one of the things I was just thinking about while Adam was speaking is, you know, Jack retired in 2007, and he became far more visible after he left the paper because he really became a public persona, and he didn't have to answer all the bells. So he didn't have to go see four movies a week and mm-hmm. write three or four reviews. He, you know, he kind of cut it back to, you know, he'd see one film and write one review. And the other thing that he did, and something he and I talked about, I'll never forget this one also, 2006, he and I and Donna and Bonnie were having dinner at the little cafe, and this enormous presence comes walking toward the table, and he said, I just figured out what you're doing with Facebook. And I said, what? And he said, you turned it into a classroom. And I never thought about it that way, but I always thought about it as an extension of things that I could do as a teacher. And we sat there and talked for the next hour about how you could turn it into a classroom. And I think both of us kind of thrived on the presence of social media. He never caught on to Twitter, and he would have been great on Twitter. He's such a great mind.
Well, let me bring in somebody on that, exactly that point. I'm so glad Tom Proietti brought this up, because Jeff Spivak, who is on the line with us now, points out that maybe Jack Garner could have been great there, but as Jeff recently said about Jack Garner, social media has populated the landscape with instant stars, disposable stars. And Jeff, you kind of pointed out that Jack came out of that era where you didn't, that wasn't an avenue. You had to really earn it, huh?
Yeah. Well, thanks for inviting me in on this conversation.
Oh, yeah.
I've been listening for almost an hour and a half, Tom. And you know, it's just difficult, but guys like Jack, are we going to see these people again? The point I was making about social media is like, you have to earn it. You have to earn what Jack did. And he started in news, and the longevity was there, and he was ours. You know, even though he wrote for Gannett, he was ours, and you saw him all over town wherever you went. He was hard to miss. And I just, you know, just these disposable figures that you have coming and going on social media now, they just don't match up. They don't. Where are we going to find another Jack Garner? I don't know.
Is that a product of the media age that we've moved into, Jeff Spivak?
Well, I assume it is, but it's also a product of somebody coming and living somewhere and being a part of the community, and they don't. There's a call to go somewhere else. Jack surely could have gone elsewhere, could have lived elsewhere, but he chose to be among us, and like I said, he was ours. I mean, he belonged to all the newspapers that subscribe to Gannett News Service, but he's still ours. Mm.
Jeff, when we lose somebody like that in this community, you know, Jack officially retired in 2007. He was very connected in so many ways, as our guests throughout this hour have described. But he was also just a presence that was undeniably positive. I'm so glad Tom and Linda especially making this point that he was kind, but he was also just infectiously enthusiastic for Rochester, for the festivals, for the talent that he saw here in so many ways. What do you think is sort of the, is there a way to measure the loss of someone like Jack? And I don't know that we can do it just a few days after he's gone, but what do you think it does to a community, Jeff?
Well, after you talk about it and you remember and you talk about the very thing you're talking about today, which is the kindness. And when I first, when I first arrived in Rochester was 1989, and then I started doing music in 1992, and one of the first things we did was Frank Sinatra came to town, played at the War Memorial, and Jack and I did dueling reviews. We both wrote one, and I wrote about Sinatra just didn't sound like you remember him, and he seemed to be forgetting some words, and you know, it was a little snarky. And then I read Jack's review, and it was very forgiving. Yes, he's now no longer has the voice, but he was an actor on stage. He was playing the roles. I remember Jack writing those very words. And I thought, well, yeah, Sinatra's old. And I know there's a bottle of Jack Daniels in the dressing room, and cut him a break. He deserved it. He earned it. And Jack's willingness to, like, look at the fact that here's an old entertainer who's still out there giving it a shot, and we appreciate him doing it for us. That gave me something to think about. And I have always tried to be a little more kinder, like Jack was.
Well, and maybe in our last minute with you, Jeff, one more question for you, and I'm so grateful for your time talking about Jack Garner and the loss of Jack. He was, as Tom Peretti described earlier this hour, very much looking forward to November and the election. He was not shy about his political beliefs. Occasionally, your political beliefs leak out a little bit. But Jack was an optimist about just about everything. I mean, he was optimistic that, you know, the painful times were temporary, that people could be good, that people... Do you find yourself fighting against cynicism? And do you think there's a lesson in Jack's optimism?
Well, there is a lesson in Jack's optimism. Unfortunately, I'm losing that battle. But you know, I really... you know, Jack's, you know, there's just something about somebody who, as somebody earlier in the show said, they were always the same. It is steady. And in moments like these, when you lose somebody like Jack and you don't know where to go, I don't know what it is. Maybe it's this coronavirus moment, but, you know, I still can't grasp the idea that he's gone. And I've had other friends pass away during this time from, like, cancer and Parkinson's. But, you know, no calling hours and, you know, and no hugs and, you know, just Facebook. And you know, all you really want to do is just, you know, go give Bonnie Garner a hug.
Yeah.
So that kind of across-the-board beauty is something I would like to shoot for.
Well,
beautifully said.
I'm grateful for your perspective on him, Jeff. Thanks for doing it, and I know we'll see you around here, but thanks for popping on with us this hour.
Okay. Thanks, guys.
Jeff Spivak is an arts and life editor for WXXI News, and the last 30 seconds go to Tom Proietti to talk about his friend Jack Garner. Go ahead, Tom.
Well, just think about what Jeff just said. He got a life lesson from Jack Garner when they did the dueling review mm-hmm. of Frank Sinatra. What a life lesson that is. You want to understand Jack Garner. He's there, and I think Sinatra was 82 years old when he did the show, and I'll never forget, you know, how excited he was about Jack was off the planet over the fact that Sinatra was coming to town and he was going to be able to write a review, because that really wasn't his territory at the paper. It was Jeff's territory, and the idea that, I mean, that's it. That's Jack Garner. In a nutshell, perfectly said. What a beautiful hour, by the way, buddy. Thank you.
Well, listen, I know it's a loss that hits the entire community, but especially his closest friends like you. So I love you, and thank you for making time.
I love you, buddy. Thanks. Take care.
Tom Proietti joining Gary Craig, Linda Maroney, Adam Lubito, Jeff Spivak, talking about the great Jack Garner, who will be missed, but you know, the cliche, missed but not forgotten, that is exactly right. And Jack, for everything you've done for this community. Jack and Bonnie. And Bonnie, we're thinking of you. Jack, thank you. Rob Braden's the engineer. Megan Max, the producer. I'm Evan Dawson. Have a nice and loving afternoon. We'll talk to you tomorrow on member-supported public radio.